Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website DaspitLaw.com.
An official intelligence representative at a high level from the U.S. government is saying publicly to the human race, we are not alone.
We're definitely not alone. Absolutely, the data points empirically that we're not alone.
Use, want, and destroy.
It's John and Lance from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, here with you on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And off we go. 713-780-3776 at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein. And we got a lot to talk about this morning. A nice weekend of sports. It's not football season, but it is. There's all kinds of great stuff going on to talk about, including how well our Astros are playing. Boy, oh boy, is this just good baseball right now. Couldn't hit Shane Bieber at all. There was a question about Shane Bieber's his velocity is down a little bit. Shane Bieber is not the same guy that was the Cy Young Award winner. He just isn't that guy anymore. And yet the Astros, he made the Astros look really, really bad. There was a question about, I wouldn't mind at all getting Shane Bieber, if you want to know the truth, if they're going to be looking for pitching. And you know, the question is this, you know, Dana Brown said you got to have three horses to win in the postseason. Are Hunter Brown, Christian Javier, and Framber Valdez enough? Are those three horses that you can rely on throughout the postseason?
I mean, typically, historically, they would be if they're all pitching their capabilities. Absolutely. If you have three pitchers that good, that's what Philadelphia had, and they went to the World Series last year. And McCullers didn't. I mean, those three is usually good enough to get there, because once you get in the postseason, you start to tighten it up anyway.
Yeah, no, you will, but you got to have at least, three.
I would argue, you know, your pen has to play well, and then you got to really. It's not the pitching right now, in the grand scheme of things.
It was the pitching Friday night.
Yeah,
yeah, it was the
Hunter Brown right now is not consistent. Is one of my concerns, and of course Friday night was Javier.
Yeah,
who did not have he was not typical Javier, but I would say in general, three good pitchers is enough if you consider Hunter Brown.
And you're hoping you get Urquidy back. You're hoping you get Lance McCullers at some point. You can hope in whatever you want, but
I think it's Urquidy is who you're talking about there. So it turns into there's four. If you have Urquidy, and then five becomes France.
We'll see, and we'll see how Urquidy comes back. As a matter of fact, Urquidy didn't even he didn't even bust a grape in the postseason last year. So, that's problematic in itself.
Well, because they were so deep, though. It wasn't due to him.
No, but he was the lost man in that rotation last year. And, you know, to have him as a huge part of it this year would be interesting to see. But that's where you are. That's where you are as far as your injuries go. And, you know, some guys left, Verlander left. So, you know, you're one less guy. But you seem like you're four down right now. And, you know, you're right. It hasn't been the pitching. The pitching is still tops and is still among the best in baseball, but you know, Dana Brown talking about picking up a hitter at the trade deadline, have we seen this before? Where's Dusty? Is Dusty actually going to use him?
Listen, Dusty will be out if he doesn't do what they ask. It'll turn into Dusty versus front office, and Dusty won't win beyond this year. He'll be gone. So I think Dusty will do whatever he needs to do to try to win. If he believes it'll help him win, you just look at this. You know, Dusty had a very, very classic Larry Durker getaway game lineup yesterday with no Altuve, Pena. We know Yordan's out, no Chaz McCormick. It was a very impotent lineup yesterday he threw out there. And not surprisingly,
if I'm Bielak, I'm like, what the?
mean, they ended up, Belak did what he usually does from a statistical standpoint, you know, 9 hits, 5 innings, 4 strikeouts, 2 Ks. It was kind of a standard Brandon Belak game, but it was, you know, from an offensive standpoint, 0 runs. You run up against any pitching at all, and you're in trouble with that lineup. But unfortunately, you've been in trouble with too many lineups lately. So this has been, you know, for the Astros, you threw up a bunch of runs in game one of the Toronto series, and then it's been not great. So 0-4, you had the 9, of course, in the extra inning loss that you called one of the great games in baseball history, and you got in trouble with Twitter.
It was a great game. Listen, I heard things like embarrassing. This is when I heard embarrassing, I was like, are you kidding me? What I saw was a team that just played. So Pena threw the ball. I mean, he's trying to make a play to end the game with a double play. He fires it high as he's getting hit while he's throwing and fires it high and they score the run. I saw guys diving. I saw guys, Altuve looked like he had the game-winning hit. He's going to score 2 more runs, and instead it's a diving play by the Guardians to stop the runs. I saw a great game that I thought 3 or 4 times, well, this is over, and they extended it with a nice pitching performance or great defensive plays. And I'm like, embarrassing, you people. You know, we're spoiled. We are really, really spoiled.
Yeah, no, we are.
These injuries that they're playing through, these lineups that Dusty's putting out there, these pitchers that shouldn't even be in the big leagues right now that are pitching for this team, 3 of them, Blanco, Belak, and France, they shouldn't even be in the big leagues. This is still a playoff team right now.
You know what's funny is everyone makes the comment that what I'm not a believer in is the idea that, you know, games in April and May, that nothing matters, and it's still June, nothing matters. I'm not a fan of that. Too many people go to that. But at the same time, you know, in basketball, the argument's always, this is regular season basketball. It's just regular season. You know, the idea is once you get to the postseason, people don't pay as much attention to the games. In baseball, it's 162, and this is an Astros team that had been playing well. They're 2-6 in their last 8. They're not playing well. It's a stretch. But, my gosh, if you follow the Astros, even if you've only started following them since 17, even if you only started following them since 17, you still have 6 years of understanding how mm-hmm. this works, yeah. Where baseball has many seasons inside of it. And right now, this is not a good mini season. It includes it includes injuries to pitchers. It includes Yordan now being out. It had a stretch of Jose Altuve not there. You're just not hitting well. Now, sometimes it turns into this kind of season, you know, and you hope this isn't a 2000 season where the Astros had ACL tear with Craig Biggio and they get into their new Enron Park and it's just a house of horrors. They just play really poorly in that year, but it's sandwiched between 2 playoff years in 19 and 21. You hope that it's not that, but I don't think it will be that, but you never know. I mean, the division has some tougher moments now. Obviously, the Rangers are better this year. Seattle, you know, has some talent. You expect them to make a little run, but I think the Astros are going to be okay. It kind of mirrors what's going on in L.A. with the Dodgers. Dodgers, another year of injuries galore to the pitching staff and some of the everyday players, and they've got a record that's basically the same as the Astros. So, it happens. It's, you know, a positive on a serious note. Abreu had 3 consecutive multi-hit games before yesterday. He was 0 for 4. He's 7 of his last 23. He's had a couple home runs here over the last three days. 6 RBI, 2 3-RBI games. Jose Abreu, maybe this is a moment where he starts to get some confidence back and he becomes at least a partial version of what the Astros signed. Maybe that's something you can take away from this. But it's just, yeah, the idea that you're going to freak out and panic over this when you've watched Astros baseball for however many years you've been watching, that's a little ridiculous.
Yeah. No, listen, we know Astros baseball. There are peaks and valleys, and we've never seen this before. We've never seen the injury bug like this before. So this is something that, you know, what Dusty's got to just work his way through lineup wise. I mean, that lineup yesterday, though, my goodness, as bad as it is, he's got to give guys days off, though. He wanted to give Altuve 2 days off. Let's not forget Altuve's coming off the thumb, which he missed all kinds of time. And then he had the oblique. He's getting older now. Getting 2 days off in a row is probably a pretty good thing. Although he's seeing the ball and hitting the ball really, really well.
Yeah.
But you're gonna have to work with him with kid gloves. This Salazar starting behind the plate. Okay. I guess okay. That's you know, and Kessinger, I mean, it's just been that lineup yesterday was not a big league lineup. It just wasn't. And yet, you know, and it showed 5-0. They didn't pitch well. They didn't hit well. They didn't do anything well. But you're right. Jose Abreu looks like he's coming around. Jeff Bagwell's laughing at you now, and he's laughing at everybody in this city, saying, oh, yeah, how's that? How are those two homers this weekend taste, everybody? How'd they taste?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe Jeff Bagwell was right about this thing all along, and Montero, too. Maybe he was right about
it. Maybe he is. Maybe. I hope he ends up being right.
Yeah. Maybe not with Montero. I didn't see anything decent out of.
Well, he's getting actually Abreu's getting dangerously close to the 600 OPS mark.
That's well. There you go.
So
there you have it.
That is a positive. He's 594 right now, so he's getting dangerously close.
Where are you on the under 600. Over 22 homers?
I'm still going to go under.
You're still
sit. But I do think he's maybe got a chance at 9 now.
Well, at this rate from this weekend. Where he hit 2 home runs.
Well, you still have to use your past.
No. ABs 2 home runs in 3 games. You know what that? He's way over. Way.
Oh, if you use that rate.
Right. At that rate. At that rate.
So not the rest of the game.
There's no question. What did you
learn?
What did you watch this weekend?
Some tennis, some horse racing, you know, just standard, some baseball, some tennis, some horse racing. I had some basketball, kind of standard.
Did you see one of the greatest golf tournaments in recent memory?
No, I did see Big Cat from Barstool make a putt in some kind of scramble that was on Twitter.
You saw that?
I saw that putt.
Have you seen the video where the guys are thrusting?
Yeah. Yes, I've seen it before. And then
everybody seems to have brought
it back up.
Yeah, Raheel, I saw that before, too.
I'd seen it before.
And people are tweeting me this all the time. Is this video of these guys who are... all lined up and they're hitting and they're all thrusting to the song, and it's just I just saw that the
golfer was tackled by security.
Oh my God,
trying
that's
to
Adam
celebrate.
Hadwin, who's a Canadian. So
what happened?
Nick
there?
Taylor hit a 72-foot putt to win.
Oh,
the Canadian.
He was shooting
right. Well, wait, Nick Taylor made a 72-foot putt to win the Canadian Open the first time.
72-foot putt.
The first time in 69 years a Canadian has won the Canadian Open. So it was a huge deal.
Wait, say that again?
The first time in 69 years that a Canadian has won the Canadian Open.
Wow.
Yeah. So, back in 1954, a guy named Pat Fletcher won. Anyway, so Adam Hadwin and Corey Connors and Mike Weir and any American golf. I mean, there were all these golfers that were standing there. This was a historic moment. He's in a playoff, is Nick Taylor, with Tommy Fleetwood, and Taylor makes a 72-foot eagle. Well, they stormed the green afterwards, and a security guard picked up Adam Hadwin, a golfer who finished in the top 10, and, I mean, plowed him into the ground. It was a great tackle. He thought he was just some fan running onto the green, spraying champagne. And instead, it's Adam Hadwin. And it was a great tackle by this security
guard.
Actually,
Hadwin had a good sense of humor about it.
He did? What did he say?
Yeah, he had a picture of himself getting tackled and said, put it in the Louvre. It's him getting tackled, and it's and you see the celebration in the background.
Not a big guy. He's a skinny guy to be tackled like that. But golfers are such great athletes anyway.
He seemed to have a good sense of humor.
Yeah, he does.
I don't know if any athletes in the Big Three would have had the same, Big Three majors would have had the same response to getting tackled by someone. Can you imagine Draymond Green? We would have heard about it on a podcast least 6 months.
Oh, my gosh. No, we would.
ESPN would have done a long-form series.
Aaron Rodgers getting tackled?
Oh, my gosh.
Can you
imagine?
Yeah. No.
If Kirk Cousins got tackled, probably nothing would happen.
No, he put the chain on and dance.
No one would have. Everyone would have been like, good. Hope he hurt his.
Adam Hadwin is a Canadian great, though. And for the security guard to take him out like that, that's the worst. That's
and not terrible. To recognize Adam Hadwin?
Yeah.
How do you not recognize Adam Hadwin?
All right, we're taking a break. 713-780-3776. We're still ahead. We've got What Did You Learn This Weekend in One Sentence. And Ryan Pressly is going to join us in studio here this morning, courtesy of Veritex, a community bank. So that's awfully nice. And listen, I don't want you taking any jabs at him, okay? No jab.
Site jab. How about site jab? They've got – so I want to tell you about site jab. One of the things that they're really focusing on right now is they really want to focus on – because they do a lot of different stuff, right? They want to – they do a lot of different things. Well, social media management is one of the big things that they really take advantage of. They really do a great job of helping to manage the social media accounts for businesses of people who just aren't into social media. Maybe you don't keep up with it, but you need to have a presence. They can do that. Custom website development and the importance of having and updating the website. It's something that they focus on for you, and they teach you how to update your own website. They build it so that you can update it very, very easily. Even TikTok ads, they will help you produce your own TikTok ads. That's something with social media management that you need to understand as well. And when you mention ESPN 97.5, you're going to get $975 off your website project for a full custom website. That is a really big deal. I know their pricing structure, and that $975 is a lot of money. That's a big percentage off. So make sure if you're looking at a new website, maybe you've just been thinking about it, this is a great incentive for you to get a new website custom built from ground floor up, and you are going to see a huge difference with my friends over at SiteJab. $975 off when you mention ESPN 97.5. It's SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the only sports radio on FM in Houston. Let's all get back to two white guys talking sports. Wow, that's a totally new concept. It's John and Lance from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5.
Well, duh. 718.
I'm in season three of Gamora, which I knew I had heard about it somewhere, and I can't remember where. And it kind of feels like Gangs of London. Honestly, it's got kind of that same. Gangs of London's fantastic. But so I'm watching Gamora. I'm on season three. I just started.
And are you doing the? Are you reading it all, or yeah. Are you getting the?
I just found
the English translation.
The English
is bad.
Audio is so bad on awful. All these shows.
No.
I just want to find. I just want an opportunity to be able to sell my white to the, you know, which is the drugs or whatever, to this. Well, you are going to find this out, Gennaro. I am still the king of this family. Like, I can't. This is terrible.
Right.
I'll read this. I'll read it, and I'll it just I got to hear the real voices, and but one thing I found out is that Italian women, they're pretty good looking on TV
you
shows.
Found you're
on
just
streaming TV shows.
Wow.
The Italian women, they
you're
did a good job of casting
out.
This. Yeah,
you're finding this out. Okay.
Yeah, they did a nice job.
Yeah, even the big boss's wife, who's a little bit older, she's going pretty good.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. She is not the blonde lady with
no.
That's
no,
been
no.
smoking a lot.
No. Tell you if she's blonde. She's
now I will also
probably
say
not that Italian.
That maybe the Italians also cast like Americans cast, which they tend to cast
pretty people.
Yeah,
yeah.
That tends.
That's
to
smart TV. If you want to know.
Yeah, I mean it makes sense from an analytics standpoint.
I mean, you want Rosie O'Donnell to be? Is that what you want?
No. It does make some sense.
Okay.
So I'm like, is every Italian woman look like this? And then Luke. And then Uncle Luke.
Pretty much.
So Uncle Luke, Luther Campbell, right? Two Live Crew. Funny story for those of you who didn't listen during 1560 days. Nick Van Exel used to be our basketball analyst for a few months. And he was great. And one day we got into an argument about the greatest hype man in rap history. And I was saying it was Flavor Flav. He said it was Luke Campbell. So he called Luke on the show, put him on speakerphone. And Luke, who's the best hype man ever in rap? Me? Thank you. He goes, there you go. And so, but Luther Campbell, did you see his, did you see his Twitter? You probably didn't. He had a tweet and he had a pic. It started this big, long chain. You asked what I did, what I watched this weekend. Well, one of the things I watch is Luther Campbell having a picture from back in the '80s, maybe early '90s. Hmm. And it just said all natural. And these girls are all natural. They don't have, no one had butt surgeries. No one had any of that. And I mean, it's pretty, it's pretty good, right?
Nice. Yeah.
It started a long debate about, it wasn't even so much debates as people going, oh, wow, that was pretty good.
Mm.
Why do we, why did people start doing extra to this and that? And then there's Gen Z and millennials jumping in like, nah, nah, nah. I just realized, God, Twitter's so weird. I'm on a string arguing about people with fake butts.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here like, what am I doing? What am I? I didn't used to do this. I could have been reading a book or helping humanity somehow, probably helping homeless people again like I do sometimes and being a great person. And instead, this is what I'm doing.
Taking in dogs?
Yeah, taking in dogs.
Right.
God, am I a good person.
Yeah. Man. No.
Now I got rid of those dogs.
You did?
Yeah, yeah, I just found the,
threw them out in the street.
I found the owner.
Good for you.
No, we found the owner. The dogs had been missing for 3 days, and he speaks only Spanish, but he had his dogs chipped. And so we found him, and he just told me if I ever need any air conditioning work on my car, he gave me his business card. So
oh, yeah.
If I need air conditioning work on my car, I'm good.
Well, yeah.
Arturo's
you got it.
You're all set
now. Yep. You're all set now. Good for you.
Because I found his dogs, Mac and Luna.
Good for you. Good for you.
I mean, look at this. Uncle Luke was, you know, this just in. Uncle Luke was doing pretty good. But, yeah, it's weird to go back and watch videos from the 90s, early 90s, late 80s. It's like no one even looks like this anymore. Everyone looks like cartoon figures, just the way you like them.
No.
I can barely walk.
That's not true. That is totally, totally not true.
Look at the Kardashians. Luke Campbell would not have had a Kardashian. Would not have had Kim Kardashian on a video. He'd be like, "That's too much. That's too much."
Kim. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure he'd have Kim, about he'd have Kim on that on there. Yeah, that's Kim like. Yeah, okay. 703-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You are more than welcome to get in. Still ahead in about 20 minutes, we'll do what did you learn this weekend? What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? So get yours ready. I'm sure you learned something. I know I learned something this weekend. So we need you to get in here today and make that a positive. So college baseball. Texas is going to play today to go to the World Series. LSU is in. That's awfully nice. Oral Roberts beat Oregon. So the College Baseball World Series is awesome, awesome, awesome. That is happening. Well, you watch Djokovic, huh?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I was thinking about this. I don't know that I've ever seen an elite talent, and I mean a top tier, one of the best ever in his sport that is ever less liked than Djokovic. And when I say that, I don't mean hated. He's not polarizing, because I'm sure somebody would come in, what about LeBron? LeBron is beloved by – LeBron has grown men that put things in their Twitter bios about him. They buy multiple jerseys. They do – so you can't say that. A majority of people don't really care for Djokovic. They don't necessarily hate him, unless you're mad about his vaccination status or whatever. But – They don't hate him. It's just that he came up in a time people feel cheated that they were sitting there with Roger Federer and Rafa in this golden age of tennis, and then all of a sudden Djokovic came up and he ends up being better than both. He ends up, everyone would have swore that one of those guys was going to hold the record forever. It was going to be, you know, it was, everyone would have thought it was going to be Federer. And now it's Djokovic. And Djokovic didn't even get a play in a couple of the majors last year. Like, he's missed out on majors, slam events, because of his vaccination status.
Mm-hmm.
And he has 23 Grand Slam titles. 23. At one point, Pete Sampras had 14, and it felt untouchable. Now, he's got 23, but he came up in the era of Rafa, who there's the Borg. The Bjorn Borg was Roger Federer. The McEnroe with the – or Jimmy – more like the Jimmy Connors, probably – was like Rafa, but obviously way, way better. And now you just have this guy out of nowhere who's kind of the Yvonne Lindell, I guess, if I want to make comparisons to tennis, historical tennis. He's a guy who comes out of nowhere and is better than everybody. It doesn't – people didn't get to celebrate. I think there's people who are upset that they didn't get to celebrate Rafa because everyone picked, all right, I'm a Rafa guy or I'm a Federer guy. And then here comes this third guy, Djokovic, and ends up just quietly becoming better than both. And it's like people just don't love him, kind of like Hearns maybe. You had Hagler, you had Leonard – I mean, you had Hearns and Leonard. I'm sorry, you had Hearns and Leonard, and then Hagler and Duran. Like, you – it kind of split the votes a little bit. With Djokovic, this guy's got 23 slams. He should be, you know, heralded. And yet, at the French Open, no one's Rude. Everyone's clapping for Rude. Yeah. They barely clap for their, like, it's like polite clapping. And I was trying to think, who is an all-time great in a sport? And the only guy I could really come up with was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Abdul-Jabbar was never really, you know, and he came up with, when he was in his prime, well, actually, he was actually getting kind of, no, he was still in his prime. Young Magic and Young Bird came into the league. Kind of took away some of the attention. You had Dr. J taking away some attention. Then toward the end of his career, really deeper into his career, you had Jordan and Olajuwon and you know, Ewing and all these. You had the golden era of Barkley, all those guys coming into the league. But can you think of a guy like Kareem?
I think it's LeBron.
See, but LeBron is polarizing. He has people who absolutely love him. Absolutely love him. I don't know if there's anybody that there's a difference between being polarized and people just not gravitating toward you. LeBron has people who love. I don't know who just loves Djokovic. I don't know that you could argue that about, you know, half the basketball community adores LeBron, and now the other half may hate him. But there's a difference between being polarizing and somebody who just kind of people just can't get behind. They respect him. That's kind of what like that was what Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was. Kareem was never really beloved. He was highly respected in basketball, but I don't ever remember. Now, I was younger during some of his career, obviously, where I wouldn't remember. I wasn't even following basketball when I was like six or whatever. But I don't feel like Kareem is ever, to this day, I don't feel like Kareem is beloved as a big man. I don't think he's beloved as one of the basketball greats, and yet you can't say
that he's
not. No,
he gets left out
of
the conversation a lot.
He does. He does. And even when he's included in a conversation, no one's passionate about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. In baseball, you know, I don't know who would be in baseball. We could probably come up with some in baseball because there's been decades and decades of baseball players. In football, you know, yeah, it's Kirk Cousins, obviously, is the Djokovic of quarterbacking. I don't know. In football, you might be able to come up with one. Not Steve Young. I don't know who football would be.
To be an all-time great and just to be not beloved.
Yeah, because you almost have to go to a position like quarterback. That's a really headliner position. And to be an all-time great but not have people – yeah, not have a bunch of fans. It's hard for me to – there's a respect, but no matter who Djokovic plays against, that other person's probably going to get – now, once it's over, everyone claps.
Well,
there's
I
a great,
think this is a recent development with Djokovic, though, because of the whole
No, it's always been like this because he's always had Federer or it's just been three guys winning all the big events. It's Federer and people loved Federer and then they loved Rafa and there wasn't enough to go around for Djokovic. Djokovic is kind of a funny guy too. I remember when he first came on the scene, he could do imitations of people in tennis and things like that, but Rafa's this passionate player. The good-looking, you know, the good-looking, smooth player. I mean, really, Federer is exactly what Borg was, if you really want to know the truth. I was a Bjorn Borg fan when I was a kid. Used to pick a side, right? I was a Thomas Hearns fan. Used to pick a side.
Yeah.
And no one's picking the side of Djokovic, not most tennis fans. It's weird to me that the all-time great in the sport just doesn't have people don't really cheer for him. They cheer against him in a lot of the majors.
Well, especially in France, though. I mean, you know, Rafa has won it 14 times.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a one-trick pony, but it's close. 14 of his 22 have come at the French. I mean, that he has been so dominant there that he's beloved there. So I could certainly see where they wouldn't, they wouldn't gravitate to him.
When's the last time that Rafa that it wasn't won by Djokovic, Rafa, or
Federer.
Yeah, Federer. Actually, it happened in 2015. Stan Wawrinka. But do you know how many times? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 18 of the last 19 have been.
About
since 2005, it's been a crapload of Rafas, as you mentioned. 14 is insane. Federer did it just once during that time frame. That was not his surface. Then you have Djokovic. So Djokovic has done it three times. Rafa. I mean, Rafa on this surface is insane.
Insane. 731 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776.
I think I would have been good on clay.
Yeah, I think you might have been competitive with those guys had you.
Oh, done. Wait until you hear Let Them Cook on Wednesday. Mason made one of the most outlandish, and he believes this with his heart. I almost don't want to spoil it. You know
well,
what?
Don't spoil it to Wednesday.
God, I don't want to spoil it, but I want people to hear him legitimately say, okay, I'm just going to ask you a quick
question. No, we're going to do it on the other side. On the other side. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Still ahead. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Right now, I learned, as a matter of fact, when I was coming in, I heard Robin talking about this. They have a laser at Houston Powder Coaters where they've got, they went into, you know, the giant merry-go-round, but the big thing at the aquarium. What is it? A big giant ride. Yeah, that thing. The Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, whatever that is. They Houston Powder Coaters, oh, what did they do? They went and made it a perfect for them. Okay, made it look like new again. It doesn't matter what business. They can come to you. They have a laser that if you have a rusty iron gate that you don't that is awful for your business. No, you don't want that. You want it to look beautiful? They can do that. You want it? You want them to take care of your outdoor furniture at your business as opposed to taking it back to Houston Powder Coaters? They can do that as well. No matter what metal you have that you need to make look great, you got a water tower in your city that you need to look great because it looks like crap. Well, Houston Powder Coaters can come and get that job done. Look, if you're looking for the best way to make whatever metal it is perfect again, look like it's brand new, it's HoustonPowderCoaters.com. 281-676-3888. Biggest by volume and the best. 20 years of business experience. Great Google reviews. Very hands-on. Great communication. They will pick up and deliver if you need it there. HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Please keep hands and feet in the ride at all times.
Clear.
Hello, stranger. By the way, just got in town.
Now that you've purchased all the fine products and services mentioned in the last break, it's time to be mind-numbingly bored by these two guys, John and Lance, in the Veritex Community Bank Studios that has microphones and stuff on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 736, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. I've seen in multiple places going around that the Rockets are going to weigh a run at signing Kyrie Irving. This from a Rockets insider.
Who's that?
According to NBA insider Mark Stein, the Rockets plan to evaluate a potential run at Irving in free agency if they prove unable to land Harden, who is reportedly torn between joining them or staying with the 76ers.
This is really turning into a den of nightmares.
It's a den of nothingness. I don't know for sure. I cannot see. Now, here's the deal, though. The Rockets have to spend $47 million this offseason. They have to spend $47 million. The problem with James Harden is the last 2 years of a four-year deal, max deal. Mm-hmm. Because in 24 and 25, is it 24 and 25 or 25 and 26? The eight guys are coming up for contract.
Mm-hmm.
Eight guys are coming up. So now I don't know if those guys are going to be there the whole time, are going to still be on the team, right? But the fact of the matter is that they are going to need some money. And James Harden in that contract, at the end of that deal, making whatever, 30-some million dollars, it's going to be a real hindrance to the advancement of this team. So, stop with that. It's a Nikola Jokic imitation.
The guy who does the Jokic imitation is so perfect. The way he moves and runs.
Anyway, so it is not. It is going to be. They have to spend money, but they have to spend it smart, man. They cannot give James Harden a four-year deal. You just can't give James Harden a four-year deal. Yet you have to spend $47 million.
Yeah.
I'm hearing Cam Johnson a lot. I'm hearing...
These are things that make more sense.
They make a lot more sense. A lot more sense,
you know. You want a veteran. You have to decide, do you want a veteran who is going to be disruptive to what's going... You do want a veteran who's going to be disruptive in the right way and really get everything aligned with Udoka's culture and what he wants. But I think it's a very tricky... Rafael Stone, this is an incredibly challenging offseason that is really important because whoever you end up signing is probably going to make a ton of money. And you have to really be on board with that team. Yeah, I mean, with that player. Really be on board. Kyrie would be a nightmare. That's a fireable offense. Anybody who would bring Kyrie in who has been... You saw the damage he did to the Celtics. It took them a couple years to recover. You saw the Nets couldn't get Kyrie to play all that often. It didn't work out there. Kyrie didn't work out. They got worse with the Mavericks. Why in the world would you take a chance on him? That makes absolutely to me no sense. That guy's not. I'd much rather have James and Kyrie. If you really want to know the truth, mm-hmm. Kyrie might be the last player I'd want on this team.
No, I wouldn't.
Then
he's going to teach the guys. Oh my gosh, no, James isn't going to do that either.
No,
I mean it. Sure, would be nice to get a Fred VanVleet. It sure would be. It's probably not going to come here though. Unless they throw stupid money at him,
you're going to have to overpay to get guys here.
You got
to. I'm not sure based on what we've heard NBA players say. Apparently, the Rockets have a reputation around the league as being a team that's, you know, kind of just does whatever they want. I don't know, but some of the basketball players who have talked about the Rockets, it has not been very favorable.
What would you think of a Jordan Poole? I'm reading a John Hollinger article in The Athletic. He talks about all of this stuff that they have to spend the money.
I actually don't hate that.
But I don't hate that either.
RJ, what do you think of Jordan Poole at the Rockets? I don't know that he's going to give you some of the other stuff that we're talking about in terms of leadership or this side or the other, but from a basketball standpoint, I don't mind it.
Do you feel that Jordan Poole believes that if he had his own situation, that he would be a top 25 guy in the league? That's the only problem that I have. You know, Kenyon Martin said it when they asked him the question of, you know, do you want Jalen Green to come back with the Rockets? And he's saying, well, if you're going to pose Jalen Green as your franchise piece and your superstar guy, then, you know, James Harden doesn't make any sense. Jordan Poole, I would like, but I really feel like Jordan Poole's a guy that says, you know, if I had my own situation, I think I would be, you know, pretty dang good. So I don't know if that would, you know, hinder or help a Jalen Green. Sure, it gives another, you know, scoring option, but does it give Jalen Green kind of that number two guy that he needs where they're a successful backcourt in the West? That would be my question for Jordan
Poole. Well, yeah, what's the ceiling on Jordan? Look, they got the 4 and the 20 pick. I wouldn't even mind at all that they traded both of those guys, you know, and for something that could be a veteran that could come in here and help. The 4 pick, the number 4 pick. Now, is there a chance that they move up? They'd have to give up a lot more than the number 4 pick and the 20. They'd have to give up a hell of a lot to get Scoot or Brandon Miller.
Well, I think there is a chance that they could go backwards, too.
Yeah,
if you do have,
but he makes it. John Hollinger makes a pretty good point. Well, do you need another Ty? Do you need another Garuba? Do you need another a Christopher? No, that's what you're going to get around 20. That's what I mean.
One of the things that David Weiner brought up was, you know, you could go maybe do something like from 6 to 4. You know, you can go from 4 to 6 and go from 20 to 11. Maybe do that. Double flip flop the picks.
I
think I would rather have 6 and 11. Yeah, I know. And maybe you take 6 and 11 and you package it for a player that you want. I don't know. You're right. I don't think the Rockets aren't in need of getting younger.
No.
They're not really in need of getting more 19 and 20-year-olds on the roster. That's not really a thing right now for them.
Cam Whitmore is being talked about a lot at four. He averaged 12.5 points a game for Villanova. I don't know. This is, I mean, it couldn't have fallen worse for him as far as the lottery went. It just couldn't have fallen worse. Well, I guess they could have been sixth, but either way, it's a spot that they just didn't want to be in. This, you're right. This is not the offseason we were hoping for. And apparently Jabari's making a pitch for James. Okay. All right. Jabari Smith wants James Harden to come back. We don't have that sound, do we?
We don't have the sound, but here are two quotes. So question number one was, there have been many reports that James Harden is thinking of signing with the Rockets this offseason. What do you make of that? Smith says, that'd be great. The team would want a Hall of Famer. It's promising, but we're just not banking on that. We're still focused on us and how we can improve as a team. Then he was followed up with that, saying, what would be your pitch to Harden for him to come back to Houston? He says, quote, come back home. He did so much for that city. There's still so much love for him in Houston. It would definitely feel like home for him if he came back.
Okay. All right. Thank God Jabari's not running the team. I don't know. But but I'm not sure that that's not the sentiment anyway. I'm not sure. Hey, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776 is the number. Get in now. Let's line it up. 713-780-3776. I'm sure you learned something. It doesn't have to be about sports. It could be about anything that you learned this weekend. You are more than welcome to come on in.
Ooh, I got one.
You got one? Yeah. What you learned this weekend? That's correct. And you do too at 713-780-3776. What'd you learn about siding and windows?
I didn't learn anything now. I learned something a couple of years ago. I learned something about 4 years ago. I remember I had to, the hurricane, our last hurricane, did a number on the vinyl siding that was on the side of my home. And it was, I mean, it was nasty looking. It was not good. And the wind kind of ripped it. And so part of it was hanging off. My home insurance company at the time said, hey, we're not going to insure you until you get this done. So I called Allstate Windows and Siding. They came out and they did the siding on both sides of my home where that siding was. And they did a great job of keeping a clean work site. That's been an issue I've had with some other workers in the past, or especially at that time, where they don't leave clean work sites. They leave it a mess. And that's never the case with Allstate Windows and Siding. When they're installing windows, there's no glass breakage. When they do your siding jobs, they keep a clean work site and get it cleaned up when they're done. They get it done in a day. It adds both windows and siding, add energy efficiency to your home, and they just make your home look way, way better. Go to AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com. You can read about what they've got going on, and they've got deep discounts. So when you give them a call, make sure that you ask about discounts for ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 listeners. All you have to do is tell them you heard it from Lance Zierlein, 832-204-1936.
ESPN 97.5, you've chosen wisely.
It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Welcome back from the weekend, Houston. It's time to tell us what you were up to, what you did. In one sentence.
What'd you learn this weekend in one sentence? That's all you get. One sentence. Lance is really bad at this game, but he is...
Well, let me try. Can I lead it off? Okay, try. Okay. I learned that my son, Mason, right now could have played in the NBAs in the 1950s. I learned it from him.
Okay. Okay. That's it. And you know what? That's something you learned that you didn't know before.
I never would have guessed he could play professional basketball in any era, especially at the age of 16. But I learned it. I learned it yesterday.
Okay.
At the end of the week,
I learned that night drunk putting is the best kind of putting.
Huh.
Okay.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
One sentence.
Okay.
You have to use your
most accurate putting?
I just said best. The best.
Okay.
best. Time to get out to the phone, 713-780-3776.
Now, these are the three who, and we can count on three of these guys I know every single week.
Yeah. Well, Tom for sure. So we start off. Tom leads us off because he's got something. He brings it every single week. Tom, what'd you learn this weekend?
I learned that a woman does not have to be interested in you to still get jealous when you hit on her hotter friend.
I think that's accurate, though.
Yeah, it is accurate. Absolutely.
It's not fair.
No. Even if she's not interested in you, she's still going to. Yeah.
What's that? What's that's not fair.
It's not fair. If you're not even interested, why do you care?
Exactly.
Yeah. Ocho, que aprendiste este fin de semana? En una frase.
Yeah, I learned that former NBA player Detlef Schrempf is funding a group that's creating a basketball version of Topgolf.
Yeah, I have heard this.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that before.
Detlef Schrempf.
Yeah.
Is a like basketball Topgolf. We got baseball Topgolf. Reed Ryan did that already. So now we got basketball Topgolf. Okay.
Well, that's something Ocho learned.
Okay.
That's something you just learned.
I just learned that. Usually now, and it's a new week.
Yeah.
I didn't even learn it this weekend.
Exactly.
713-780-3776. Oh, la raza. ¿Qué pasó, mijo? ¿Qué aprendiste este fin de semana?
Juanito G. Lancerline. ¿Qué pasó ayer?
¿Qué aprendiste?
So, lo que yo aprendí, gentlemen, women will remember something you said 3.5 years ago. But will not know what the hell they want to eat at night. No, hombre, güey.
That's
so true. That is so true. So true.
Go to me last. Just like, yeah. Have you ever been at a dinner table? My wife is this way all the time.
My son is this way.
Oh, is he like, go to someone else?
No. I'll
save me
last.
For last. Really?
Well, he was here when everybody else is getting, I think. And then,
a guy is like that? Because usually we just, I step up there and I'm like, let's
get
that.
No. He's very wishy-washy on what he wants to eat. Because he wants to make the perfect selection. So he's always like.
No, that's why I like to get to my menu quick. And my wife's like, put the menu down. We're here to, let's talk and enjoy ourselves. Like, well, I'm trying to scout. Scouting's in my blood. I need to know what I want. And once I know what I want, I can relax and talk
enjoy.
To whoever's at the table.
Right now,
there's
anxiety.
I'm going through because I don't want to be that guy sitting there while they're, do we know what we want? Or, come to me last. I'm not the come to me last guy.
No.
I'm ready to fire.
All right. Who's next? It's Lane. Lane, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned that bringing up the fact that BBW porn is the most well and highly searched porn on the internet is indeed a proper response when my girlfriend says she's getting fat.
You said it's a proper response? You cannot say
it's improper.
BBW is the top. You said improper? The top response. Well, that's the top search. That's not what she wants to hear.
No,
you're supposed to say I'm not. Well, I'm just trying to look. I'm trying to flip it.
No. You're supposed to say no. You're not.
You're supposed to say no. You're not. You're not supposed to say. Well, it is a top
it
search.
Is the, listen,
top search porn on.
Wow,
that's on the hub.
The wrong response, Lane. Okay, that's what you learned this weekend. That's a good learning lesson for all of you out there.
Yeah,
Southwest Jay, what'd you learn this weekend?
Fellas, I learned that Floyd Mayweather had a fight this weekend. I didn't find out until I saw the highlights of the brawl this morning. And I also learned that LeBron is bilingual.
He's bilingual?
LeBron is? I'm not sure about that. Okay, hold on.
Did you hear him do the gentlemen start your engines in France?
No.
Yeah, he said that he did it in French.
He did?
You have it?
Yeah, I'll get it.
All right, okay. We got to get that. I got to hear this. Maybe he learned gentlemen start your engines. That doesn't mean that you're bilingual.
And you already heard, like, everybody say, Jordan never had to speak French. That LeBron won up on Jordan.
That would have been I'll hear that from my kids now, yeah. I know.
Keith, what'd you learn this weekend?
I learned that if the Miami Heat win tonight, their mascot is a game-time decision for Game 6 after getting knocked out by Conor McGregor.
Yeah. No. He had to go to the hospital.
I'm watching the Mayweather stuff right now.
He had to go to the hospital. That, I mean, there will be a lawsuit. I know it was staged, but Conor McGregor might have gone a little overboard. Might have gone.
It was a shot. Now.
It was a big shot.
Two shots.
713-780-3776.
You know what it was for, by the way? It was for his cold spray. Like, yeah, he's got a new spray. So he's supposed to, you know,
but
make
he,
a good
guess
shot
what?
And
it
he
didn't
sprayed
work.
On it.
Guess what? It didn't work.
Doesn't work through
flat. The mascot went to the hospital.
It doesn't work through feathers.
713-780-3776. Let's go. Jerry, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Hey, man, I learned that sudden death golf is extremely exciting.
Absolutely. Was that not great? How about that? It was back and forth and putts just missing, and it was that was good. That was so entertaining. That was so entertaining. And I was rooting for the Canadian. I'd never rooted for Canada in anything in my life.
No.
But I wanted to see for those guys, for the those
yeah, it's cool.
those people. Yeah. I mean,
those Canadian people, they only get a few months to play. Gets too
yeah,
cold.
Yeah. I mean, but and yet they've got a lot of good golfers up there.
And you know the story that our friend Alonzo Highsmith once caddied at the Canadian Open.
Canadian Open.
When he was a kid. They picked him out of the crowd like he could. Who, not for Chichi Rodriguez, some slappy who was playing with good.
Yeah, good playing.
Was playing
with
really good
right,
players.
Right, right, right. But he.
I'm like, you were a caddy at a Canadian Open?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, they picked me out of the. He goes, I was just standing there.
You looked like you could, look carry
a bag. You look like you could carry a bag and make it 18.
Well, he stood out. Did you see that crowd yesterday? There are a lot of white people in Canada.
Well, it's Canada.
Well, it's golf in Canada.
Yeah.
On top of everything.
Yeah,
golf in Canada.
Is that different from U.S.?
No, not much, but, you know, at least there's a little color. A little color. The other Eric, what'd you learn this weekend, Eric?
I learned that it's the police officer taking the police report of your broken into truck tells you that when he flies, he doesn't use the lot that he's assigned to. You may have made a poor parking choice.
Oh, I didn't understand that really, but that.
I'm not sure I get that one.
I'm not sure I get that one either. You may have made a poor parking choice. Maybe you parked it in the wrong area.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm. That's you. That's on you. This is on you.
I also
guess what's never going to happen. They're going to catch the guy that broke into your truck.
No, probably not. I also found out that my daughter, and this really is a generational difference. She told my wife, she said, Mom's got a huge butt. Now, my wife grew up in an era where, like, my wife likes her butt. I like her butt. She has a good one. But to my daughter, my wife goes, and I look at my wife, she's smiling. She goes, excuse me? And she goes, that's a compliment, Mom. I said, so that's what you want to have right now? Yes, that's a compliment to say if you have a huge butt, that's good. Maddie's saying that.
Is that
Maddie saying
BBW,
that?
BBW, big butt of women?
No, No. That's not what BBW stands for.
Okay.
But although, and I said, okay, I don't know that your mom, I don't know that that's what she wants to hear, that she's got a huge butt.
Right.
She like, you know, there's other ways, but that's how I realized that generation, this generation currently, the Gen Z, that's a like a huge, like, hey, no, that's an actually a
that's
huge
a good
compliment.
Thing. Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
No. Kim Kardashian changed the world. Okay.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, my wife's not Kim Kardashian.
We're not talking
like that. But my daughter saying that out loud to my wife, and she also told her.
It's not. Yeah.
She also said something about. So I told my wife, she goes, well, she's already said you have huge boobs and a huge butt. This is what she said over the last 3 weeks, is what she said. So that's what your daughter thinks of you.
That's good.
Which she means that as a compliment. But she even told me, I wonder if you'd even be with Mom if she didn't have huge boobs.
What?
This is when she was yelling at me on our vacation because I was looking at a Rubens painting, just joking around.
All right. Hey, this was brought to you. What did you learn this weekend? Was brought to you by the Maris Barbecue. It's and the fajitas there. If you haven't had the fajitas there, they are delicious. They are really, really, really good. The chicken, the beef, they're just outstanding. Trust me, you need these in your life. They serve at either location. So head in today and pick and get you some great fajitas. Great fajitas at Damaris Barbecue. All right. Nicely done. Nice job, everybody. Another successful What Did You Learn This Weekend in One Sentence. You know what else is successful? QC Kinetics.
It's very successful. Wife had success with it. You know, we're already making, we just got our hotels for Berlin, for the Berlin Marathon. And it's something I never thought would have happened. She didn't even run. She got through the Boston Marathon and she finished it. She ran the whole way. And then she didn't run for months and months because, you know, it was a lot of pain. She had bone-on-bone issue with her knee. And there's a lot of people dealing with knee, with hip, with shoulder, with back, you know, chronic pain. And what QC Kinetics can do is it can really help you. It can really help diminish the pain so that you aren't just living with an unbelievable amount of pain that you just fight through or you take a lot of medicine for. Look, you don't want to have to just get shots. The steroid shots only last for a certain amount of time. If you're always getting shots and then you're taking pain medicine to try to alleviate the pain, that can lead to its own problems. Why don't you consider the alternative, which is actually better? It's better for you and it's more effective. And that is my friends over at QC Kinetics, regenerative biological therapies. This is what everyone in the sports world has been doing for years. It regrows and restores damaged tissue. And when you do that, this is when the pain subsides. And in many cases, it can add mobility. It's a natural, you know, benefit is you start to have more mobility when you start to reduce that pain level and you start to restore and regenerate damaged tissue. And before you know it, you're living your best life outdoors again. And that can happen for you. You don't have to just give in to the chronic pain for the rest of your life. Call QC Kinetics, brand new location opening up in Cypress Wood as well. You've got four locations now for QC Kinetics. Go to the website, qckinetics.com.
ESPN 97.5.com. One of these guys cheats at fishing.
We got weights and fish.
There we go.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.